out across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. It is wonderful, as always, to have you guys here, and I hope you are ready. I mean, my God, in the news this week, solar flares, asteroids, hurricanes, wildfire, flooding, earthquakes, robotic space planes, and World War III. I mean, my God, my question comes to, is this what Bluebeam looks like? And to get into this answer, to start to dig into our esoteric past and our esoteric future, we have none other than Brad Olson joining us tonight. He is the president of CCCpublishing.com, producing amazing books. He has 9 books of his own. And Brad, like me, loves to travel around the world, stomping the world, as it were, and keeping things weird while sharing the love. And I think we're going to have an amazing discussion today. So, folks, please welcome to the Free Zone, Mr. Brad Olson. It's great to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad you reached out. Had to get your email out of my spam filter. Somebody doesn't want us to talk.
Oh, my friend, and, I am the king of the shadow ban. There's no doubt about it since day one.
It's even hard to connect on Skype. But here we are. They can't keep two minds away. Hey,
that's
thanks
right.
for having me on, Freeman. It's really great to connect with you. I have incredible respect for the work you've done, and it's great that we finally had a chance to talk.
Yes, absolutely. I think we're going to become good friends. And folks, just so you know, Brad is the host of Esoteric Circle on his YouTube. It's known as Esoteric Series, and we will be discussing his books, Modern Esoteric and Future Esoteric. Now, as many of you might think, this has to do with magic. Well, esoteric isn't only the black arts or even the white arts, but esoteric is what's hidden from us. And I remember, Brad, the first time I heard the word esoteric was in college, right? In honors studies. And my friend brings up the esoteric arts, and he introduces me to secret societies like the Freemasons and people like Aleister Crowley. And I remember this whole group of honors students looking at this kid and saying, esoteric? What is that? And he said to us, well, it means you don't know what it means. And we all just laughed and we didn't know. And that moment changed my life. Now, you came out of school. You became a world stomper. You started traveling around and writing exceptional travel logs, travel books and guides for people, of course, known as world stompers. And then as you started to realize there's a bigger narrative here, and you learned very quickly that there is a big lie in the bigger picture. So let's discuss this today as we're looking, staring down. There were 7 solar flares in a week, the biggest solar flare in 12 years. And it was a billion hydrogen bombs. We had an asteroid scare. We had these hurricanes coming in. We have flooding and earthquakes. And meanwhile, in the middle of Hurricane Irma, SpaceX is launching a robotic space plane, the X-37B, off on its mysterious mission. You know, this is just the most wild time to be alive. We're looking at, I mean, in my newsfeed, I got sex robots being hacked to kill. I've got Disney bringing you augmented reality. This is crazy stuff, Brad. Let's dig in, because when we start to look at this puzzle and what is going on right now, I mean, people talk about Project Bluebeam, but would you expect it to be something like this with weather modification, asteroids, fireballs, space planes, and all that?
No, because when I originally researched and wrote about Project Bluebeam in my book Future Esoteric, it was most certainly something to do with an alien invasion and using holograms. Now you're suggesting that all these crazy weather anomalies may have something to do with it too. Not sure quite what to make of that yet, but certainly the weather is being manipulated and modified, and you could tell that through the chemtrails, through the HARP waves, the frequency clouds you see in the sky, so many other things. Whether they're going to introduce some holographic component to all that will be really interesting to see. And I think you've seen and I've seen that they've already started to do little frame-ups in certain parts of the world, like the city that appeared in the sky in China, and other sort of religious-like things in the clouds, like an angel rising up all lit up in the sunset. I think they're testing the market to see how gullible we are, to see if we'll get called out. Because, of course, we know that one of the last things Wernher von Braun said to Carol Rosen was that the last thing they're going to do is fake an alien invasion. I went and saw David Icke a year ago when he came through the Bay Area, and he has long maintained that the New World Order has to come above ground with their plans sooner or later. You can only do these kind of dark plannings behind closed doors for so long before you have to become overt with it. And I think a lot of this stuff we're seeing now is them being overt with it. So the Chinese had a great quote, "May you be blessed to live in interesting times." And these are the most interesting times I've had in my 52 years of life.
I think that was a Chinese curse.
A Chinese curse. Curse or a blessing. You know how they would always parallel the two.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you gotta have your curses to recognize your blessings, right?
There you go.
Wow. Yes. I mean, okay, so when we start to look at this puzzle and Wernher von Braun and the discussion of the idea that it'd be the Red Scare, then the terrorists, then asteroids, which we had the big Apophis scare, and then aliens to bring about this new world order, he was also talking about interdimensional beings and actual extraterrestrials, and not just a show, but a show that was supposed to destroy the narrative. A show that would lead you away from the actual narrative, because it wasn't like Wernher von Braun wasn't saying there were aliens,
but saying that humans would fake the aliens. And the way I always thought of what he was describing was kind of like that movie District 9, where a big mothership just parks over a city. And in that movie, they portrayed it as real, but having some kind of huge mothership that everybody's filming with their cameras and tweeting about, and the news is forced to cover, just to introduce a narrative that there is this alien invasion. And then what they're going to do with it is something else. Now, in my capacity as a book publisher, I had the opportunity of working with Leo Lyons-Agami, and his first book is called Pope Francis, the Last Pope? And in the final chapter of that book, he talks about the one world religion and how a place in Kazakhstan, a city called Astana, is this weird religious city. In fact, CNN called it the weirdest city in the world. They have like obelisks and pyramids and all these strange buildings and giant halls that nobody's gone to yet, because they're preparing for this one world religion. And it occurred to me when I was editing and working with Leo on getting this book out a couple years ago, that Project Bluebeam could very easily be some kind of religious scene in the sky, like the second coming of Jesus coming down, or the angels playing their trumpets in the sky kind of thing. It would all be fake. It would all be a hologram. But seeing how gullible most people are, they would just eat that up and think that it was some kind of religious sign. And therefore, we have to do what the leaders tell us to do.
Now, I'm going to get really esoteric on you here, then, Brad. Because you brought Astana in this picture. And I did a documentary on Astana.
Did you know?
It's titled New World Capitals.
Yeah.
And you definitely would like to check this out. Now, folks, you know, consider this as you walk into this Kazakhstan, right? Most people, when they hear the name Kazakhstan, Brad, they think of Borat, right?
Yeah, right.
They think of little goat prostitutes and whatnot. Astana, folks, is in Kazakhstan, the largest, I mean, the most modern city in the world. You have to walk through this massive glass pyramid called the Pyramid of Peace to enter the city. And inside of this pyramid piece, they have this massive round sundial table that the committee sits around, which is 95 to 98% Muslim. And then once you get through the Pyramid of Peace and you walk into the streets of Astana, you've got this massive buckyball on a spire. And inside of it, like something out of Total Recall, you've got this golden triangle with the architect's handprint and a weird hand gesture on it. We've got these two massive columns, which could be related to Jachin and Boaz as within Freemasonry. But what I noted, Brad, and because of my work into the occult and the black magic, especially the black magic of King Solomon, if you take a satellite view of Astana, you can superimpose one of King Solomon's magical seals over the city, as if the street plan of this pre-planned city was designed as an ancient seal of Solomon to channel demons, according to Solomon's work himself. I mean, this is what we're looking at in this puzzle. It's much bigger. I mean, when we're looking at Nazis, Brad, we're not simply talking about people that had high technology. These guys were in hidden chambers underground channeling extraterrestrials, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We know the Nazis have had, you could even argue, grew up the National Socialists with a malevolent ET presence, because it goes all the way back to just after World War One with Maria Orsic and those women who grew their hair very, very long that were mediums and were getting information from the Aldebaran star system, to the point where they were able to even start to dictate blueprints for free energy devices, for spacecraft devices, for zero-point energy, and things that would just blow us away. And this is over 100 years ago that they started doing this. And then, of course, the Nazis got wind of what they were up to. It was called the Vril Society, and incorporated the main body of that research into the Thule Society, which were these occult groups. But Adolf Hitler was a member, and so were several other top officers in the Third Reich. So the Third Reich is very much an occult-based government. And then even a little bit later, they had the Ananurbi Society, which was the research arm of the Third Reich to look into the Aryan roots, to look into trying to find the Spear of Destiny, which some say they did find and is actually stored away in Antarctica. As well as other artifacts. So like the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, with the Nazis doing these archaeological excavations, is very much real and true. They were up at Rennes-le Château. They were digging around in France, poking around for like the remnants of the Mary Magdalene cult, and just looking for these relics, such as this the Spear of Destiny, which was supposedly the spear point that the Romans used to make Jesus bleed on the cross. And the thinking was, if you had the authentic Spear of Destiny, that no army could defeat you. And they believe this. And of course, Himmler had his Wieselberg Castle that's very occult orientated, would initiate the SS officers into this realm. And of course, we know after World War II, many Nazis escaped, most likely even Hitler himself. I was just reading this morning a new article about some CIA documents that show him in Colombia and Argentina in 1955. So that really gives a lot of credibility to the Fourth Reich in America starting up and becoming this force here in our country, and having people like Wernher von Braun shipped over with Project Paperclip, having people in the intelligence services coming over and starting up the CIA and the NSA, and then a lot of these alphabet agencies incorporating these these Nazis who, quite frankly, should have been on trial in Nuremberg for war crimes. But they came over here to help start up our space program and intelligence agencies. So it's quite crazy.
Absolutely. And then we look at our modern narrative and we've got this concept. Now, Wernher von Braun was on Walt Disney's show, right? I mean, here he was working with Walt Disney, getting a, you know, future world together. And now Disney owns Marvel and Star Wars, and they're putting old J.J. Abrams, who has many, many CIA connections in that he started the show Alias. And the CIA gave him his own personal CIA attaché to help write the storylines of Alias. So, you know, J.J. Abrams came out openly working for the CIA and even showing that Jennifer Garner, the star of Alias, started doing recruitment commercials for the CIA. And now she sells Capital One credit cards. But now they have taken, you know, so we got Wernher von Braun coming from this occult connection of finding modern rocketry and high technologies, bonding with Walt Disney and the Walt Disney show. And now Walt Disney Co. owns Star Wars and is putting J.J. Abrams in charge of writing the next series. It's just, oh my God.
And if you pay a lot of money to be a member of the Disney Club, they even have a 33, the number 33, referring to Freemasonry, a special club within Disneyland that you can, if you're a member, if you're a Freemason, you pay a lot of money, you can go and hang out in the 33 Club in Disneyland and
without a doubt,
your secret handshake and all that stuff.
I just want to be clear to everyone that in all of my searches, there is no evidence to suggest that Walt Disney himself was a Freemason. Roy Disney absolutely was a Freemason, and Walt Disney was absolutely one of the original Knights de Molay, the Boy Scouts of Freemasonry. But Disney Co., without a doubt, is Freemasonic. Now, we're looking at people like Michael Eisner and things. But yeah, they even have Hiram's working tools, which is something inside of Freemasonry as you come down on that locomotive roller coaster. Can't think of the frontier. But, you know, so yeah, we've got that whole connection. So, I mean, all right, so let's consider this idea. Katy Perry puts out a song called E.T. And in this song, they're starting to write the new narrative, which might have to do with what we're looking at with the Nazis and their connection with the extraterrestrials. Because in Katy Perry's E.T., she gets into the idea that you want to be abducted. You want to be raped by an alien to receive a paranormal child. And she has little children singing, I want to be abducted. I want to be a victim. Fill me with your poison. Right? These are the lyrics of being abducted in Katy Perry's E.T. This is how weird things get, right, Brad?
It sure is. And then you saw recently she had a breakdown and cut all her hair off and was crying and saying, oh, it's so hard being me. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, being a mind control slave is never an easy thing. Yeah. Just ask Kathy O'Brien. It's not a good occupation. Okay, so let's get back to the reality of what the narrative is, too, because at this point, we have people like Jesuit priest Benjamin Funes. We have the Royal Society coming forward. I mean, a Jesuit priest like Benjamin Funes saying, I would baptize E.T. no matter how many tentacles they had. And even the Pope has come forward and said the Big Bang is the better explanation for the creation of the universe. And we want to start to accept extraterrestrials into our regular narrative. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then they have the official Vatican telescope in Arizona is named Lucifer. Why would you pick that name of all the names you could pick for it? And so Leo Zagami even points out how absolutely, I would say, obsessed the Vatican is with making contact, with making first contact. And this is what's so important, Freeman. It's all about controlling the narrative. The Vatican wants to control the narrative. Like them coming out and say, well, if there's a intelligent life, if there's E.T., we feel that they could be baptized. So they're putting their own belief system into what it would be to come in contact hypothetically with extraterrestrials, that they would still be okay to be baptized, that somehow the Catholic faith can hold up to having contact, and then, oh, we're going to impose our religion on UETs who came presumably from far, far away with technology beyond our wildest dreams, and somehow they would go along with that.
Right.
So it's just so ridiculous to think how the Vatican believes that they're going to control the narrative, but they very much are, and they're very interested in this subject.
Without a doubt. Then we had that big meeting with the Royal Society, and they were like, what are we going to do when we make contact with extraterrestrials? And they announced that they had Moslyn Othman as the head of Office of Outer Space Affairs, basically the UN's alien ambassador. NASA announced that they had Linda Rothschild, right? Rothschild as their extraterrestrial ambassador. And this whole meeting of the Royal Society came together. They even brought in the Blue Brain Project, the idea of mind transfer technologies into this extraterrestrial conference or discussion. So it really is becoming more of a institutionalized topic at this time, don't you think?
Oh, big time. And then when you bring in AI and all the threats that they may have to humanity, with the computers taking on a bigger role, and soon to have this singularity event where computers are going to be smarter than humans, this artificial intelligence, who knows what rabbit hole we're going down here. And Elon Musk, the inventor of Tesla and SpaceX, he came out recently and was saying that AI could be the biggest threat to humanity of all time, even bigger than nuclear wars.
And Putin did as well.
Just about a little over a month ago, Facebook was forced to shut down their AI system after they communicated in a language unknown to humans.
Yes.
So they're already figuring out a way to circumvent humans to survive. And it's like all the movies about robotry and AI in science fiction, like Blade Runner, when they become sentient, they do not want to die. And this is what I think the real threat of AI is. Once it becomes self-aware, then it feels like it's a life form, and like all life forms, strives to survive. And if it can ever prevent humans from using the kill switch, it will, because it's become its own life force, a silicon-based life force.
Did you see Alien Covenant?
I've pretty much given up on Hollywood movies.
I understand.
Well,
get
years.
This. So they've been kind of getting the narrative together of ancient civilizations, ancient aliens as well, and putting this all together. They skirt the topic in this Alien Covenant film, but the critical factor, and sorry folks if I'm gonna blow the line for you here, but so spoiler alert, in the storyline, what it shows is that the humans, Earthlings, build synthetic humans, these cyborgs. Cyborgs decide humans don't deserve to live and create the alien that is used to kill off the humans. So when you finally get to this end of the story, you find out that it was actually a synthetic human crafted by humans that created the alien itself in genetic modification. Maybe he pulled out CRISPR or something and started working that gene splicing together. But you know that I mean, we just got a report saying sex robots can be hacked to kill. I don't know if you noticed, but on our Skype, it now asks, would you like to attach HoloLens, which of course is the augmented reality glasses coming out. You know, this is frightening.
It's happening right before our eyes. And so much of this can be tied into the New World Order agenda, just like they want to microchip everyone. Boy, did I take a lot of arrows fighting with people over that Aaron Russo video a couple years ago. He, of course, died from fast-moving cancer when he called out Nick Rockefeller, who became his friend for a while, and Nick Rockefeller told him all the things that they wanted to do in the coming decades, and one of which was to get everybody microchipped. And for right now, today, front page Drudge Report, they have an article that says implanted microchip to replace credit cards and car keys. And it even shows the hand with a microchip right under the webbing between the thumb and the index finger. So here we go, folks. It's happening. They're rolling this stuff out. And Aaron Russo is exactly right, just like David Icke. They are going to come above ground with this stuff. And of course, they're going to sugarcoat it all and make it seem, oh, gosh, I lose my car keys. Wouldn't it be great to have a microchip and then I could just start up my car? How convenient would that be? And then that company in Wisconsin that got all their employees microchip, now it's still voluntarily done, but the people can now go to the vending machine and not have to put coins in. They could just put their chip up to the vending machine and get their candy bar. So they're going to make it seem like, wow, what a great way to save a little time and money in my busy day, and I don't have to use keys anymore. But Freeman, you know, and I know this is scary technology, because they also have RFID chips that can poison or kill the host if they want to. And they're already implanting sex offenders if they want to be free again. Well, you got to get your chip. The bracelet isn't enough. And in those chips, they do have things that can harm the host. So if they get out of line and they can't catch the people to bring them back to jail or so forth, oh, they can just remotely poison them. So be careful what you're getting into here, folks, because this is the brave new world right before our very eyes.
Without a doubt. And I just got to say, every time I look at this puzzle, from extraterrestrials to ancient civilizations, I constantly come back to the occult, the ideas of channeling demons, even the ideas that Serge Manasse put into Bluebeam was this concept that this technology would be used to channel demons into your soul. And I can't help but think that we're in a bigger battle than just a technocracy battling authority, but also a spiritual battle that is demolishing our bigger picture, our narrative, and presenting the bigger and bigger lie.
And why do you think the Vatican is so has such a vested interest in the whole ET contact thing? They want to imbue a spiritual aspect into the whole concept of disclosure and first contact. Although I believe first contact has happened a long, long time ago and many, many times, even in our lifetimes. If you look into the subject like they propose to many astrophysicists and people, professional professors and people that worked in aerospace, not so much in the corporate side, but more on the academic side. And I have this study in my book, Future Esoteric, where if you present someone who works in this field and doesn't really have a vested interest with a corporation connection, if you present them the information that's pretty much coming out and is becoming known about the ET presence on Earth, rather than shunning it and saying, well, that really doesn't add up, that doesn't mean anything to me, the vast majority of these professors that they had an inquiry with said that it is more interesting than I thought and it is worth further inquiry. So it only opens the door wider once you start researching these things. And as Bill Cooper said, you put the aliens in the middle of this stuff, you get all the answers. And a lot of things that are happening in the world today, and I would even say like the RFID chip, could probably be traced to this malevolent ET presence here on Earth, and as well as what this whole New World Order plan is. And sooner or later, they have to come above ground with it. And they're doing it right before our very eyes. So we have to be vigilant. We have to really pay attention to what's going on here, or it will be right on top of us and we'll have no choice in the matter if we don't contest it.
Without a doubt. And you've made your appearances on Ancient Aliens, and I would like to ask you this question. would you be more prone to say that there have been cyclical catastrophes that have had ancient high-tech civilizations come and go, or that just there were a bunch of cavemen here and aliens came down and built pyramids?
Well, in my book, Modern Esoteric, I start at the very beginning. I describe the planet, the animals, the situation we're in ecologically right now. But then I go into the antediluvian civilizations, some of which are underwater and would be very hard to describe in any regular narrative kind of way, because we don't talk about the continents rising and falling in such a way unless maybe you incorporate Noah's Ark. Perhaps that was describing a pole shift, or continents like Atlantis sinking. But there have been very high-tech civilizations here on this planet, albeit much smaller populations than the 7 billion we have on the surface today. Maybe only a few hundred thousand, perhaps. Very small. I mean, Edgar Cayce described the planet during the time of Atlantis as a very wild jungle planet where some species of dinosaurs even still existed. And one of the goals of the Atlanteans was to tame the planet. Hence some of the references in the Bible that it's the humans' desire to tame the beasts of the world. And this was what has happened. And now we're at the point where we're even running out of rainforests, and our coral reefs are being bleached and dying right before our eyes. I mean, the planet is in huge amount of peril, and it's going to have a hard time supporting this burgeoning population as it continues to grow unabated. So I'm not sure what to make of why they're allowing the planet to run off the rails. I mean, a lot of people would say, well, don't the elite care about a healthy environment? Well, I think they do, but they also have a bit of a vendetta against having so many people on the planet. And the reference of the George Guidestones saying that they wanted to keep Earth in balance at a half a billion. That's 500 million people rather than 7 billion. So that means about 90% of us have to go, in their estimation, written there on the Georgia Guidestones. So, of course, I would say that there's got to be a better way to mitigate the population. I would even propose, why don't we look at other habitable planets in the future, or maybe even terraforming Mars and using that as another place where people can go rather than any kind of wholesale slaughter.
I tell you, you watch something like Naked and Afraid or some of these survival shows, and you see humans are not really adapted for life on planet Earth. My God, yeah. They barely survive 2-3 weeks, you know?
Oh, and then look what's happening right now in the Leeward Islands. Some of those islands got totally flattened, like Barbuda. They're already having riots over food and water. Those islands, I don't think some of them will be habitable. They're just going to have to leave.
Without a doubt. Yeah, it was a crazy week, Brad. I mean, it's hard to believe all that happened in a week. I mean,
and
maybe
right
two
weeks.
Right
after the eclipse,
weeks.
Too. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah. It was like a definite hallmark right then. And, I mean, the solar flares, I knew they were going to escalate the storms. And, I mean, even Jupiter had auroras. We had auroras coming down as far south into Idaho and down, and no one's really paying attention to that giant solar flares coming off and striking the Earth. Although it is in the news in the fear porn saying, hey, we're going to lose all power and we're going to be thrown back to the Stone Ages and never recover. And of course they did lose a lot of communications during those solar flares during the hurricane. So there was all this miscommunication and a lot of problems that came from it all. Yeah, man, it does feel like the end of the world, Brad.
Well, I still feel fine.
Yeah.
Like the REM song.
There you go.
And until we get directly cut off and they start directly censoring our posts and our books and our messages and our radio shows, we just got to keep on doing what we're doing, because this is a very critical time for people to wake up and be aware of what's really going on in the world. And as you said, they could EMP attack us. They could cut the power. They could cut the internet. And I think with Bitcoin and these cryptocurrencies now challenging the Federal Reserve system of fiat currency, it's a pretty good chance they're going to try to do something to eliminate that that threat, which yes. There are many threats. And you know, Texas in 2015 passed a bill that would allow the state of Texas to use their gold, which was stored with the New York Federal Reserve, which they were requesting to come back this year to start their own gold-based currency. And then you get something like Harvey hit with very apparent weather modification, chemtrailing, stirring up this storm, EMP and heart frequency clouds all over the place. And boy, I posted that and took a lot of arrows for that one too. People just really cannot accept the fact that some of this technology not only is out there and is online, but could be used against people of the earth. It's just too much of a mad scientist out of control. But when you try to dig down into who really controls this stuff, you realize that a lot of it is not the government at all, but has gone to the aerospace companies, which many of which are controlled by a board of directors. And what was the Swiss study in 2012 came out. I have this in my book, Future Esoteric 2, that it can be traced to about 140 corporations rule the planet, the entire planet, 140 corporations. And this whistleblower from Holland, Ronald Bernard, he just did a series of videos in the last couple months saying that he worked in finance, high finance, and he got very, very close to these individuals who own these corporations and run the money supply. And he said there's only about 4,000 to 6,000 of them. That's it. That's who's running the planet. That's who's doing all this stuff. And that's who can order things like weather modification. This is all now in private hands, and people need to realize this. The real threat has gone corporate. And I find it so disingenuous when people are like, yeah, Antifa is anti-fascist, and we're going to tear down statues, and we're going to fight people who have a prayer for peace. I'm not saying that I'm supporting either one, but what I'm saying is we don't understand what fascism means anymore. And by the way, it got taken out of our dictionary around the year 2000, any reference to corporations or corporatism. Because when you and I grew up in grade school, Freeman, we were reading about World War II and understand that Mussolini and Hitler were fascists, and they were government who took over corporations to run their war machine. Now it's a new form of fascism. It is neo-fascism, and that is the corporations have taken over government. So this is a big difference, and they're trying to deflect our thinking of what fascism is with these Antifa protests, and that's not what it is at all. It is the corporate heads, these 4,000 to 6,000 people who own the 140 corporations that run the world, are now the ones who can pull the strings, just like George Soros is funding Black Lives Matter. Pretty good chance he's throwing money at these Antifa people. So this is who we really need to focus our efforts on exposing, because this is where the real power lies. But of course, they own the media, so they're going to do everything to distract us down different rabbit holes to think it's anything but what it really is. So that's the age we live in. And as a CIA analyst says, we live in a wilderness of mirrors, where everything you think you see is real is just a reflection of something that's being projected. And again, that kind of ties back into our discussion with Project Bluebeam too.
Yes. Yes, with the powers of God in their hands, it's hard to determine who the villain is. Well, Brad, why don't you tell everybody how they can find you and what you got coming up, and list off. Let's get Future Esoteric out there, Modern Esoteric out there, and the Esoteric Circle and Esoteric Series, and BradOlson.com. I think I covered it all for you there.
Pretty much. CCCPublishing.com is the publishing website where we have the Google Books app on all our books. So you can browse the books like you're in a bookstore. Leo wants his settings at only 20%, but I have mine up at 100%. So you can read my books, and if you purchase them through CCC Publishing, at least if they're my books, I can sign them as they go out through my office here. And yeah, if you want to learn more about me, what I'm up to, BradOlson.com, or tune in every Wednesday to the Esoteric Circle, 3 to 5 Pacific Time on Revolution Radio, or 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time on Late Night in the Midlands. So I do 3 hours on two networks.
Wow.
And just did my third show yesterday and just getting started in this. And I'm reading chapters from Modern Esoteric and then having a discussion about those chapters right now to create the files for an audiobook, but also because this is very compelling information. And I want to set up the precedence of where I'm coming from. And by reading these chapters, people will know where I'm coming from. So everybody that doesn't like to read, they can hear every week an audiobook version of each chapter.
Very nice. And if you ever want it, I'm happy to come and join you for another discussion on Esoteric Circle.
Oh, for sure. I'll have you as a guest as soon as I exhaust my chapters and go back to the guest-based format.
Nice. Well, folks, we're not done yet. We've got another half to go, and I'll tell you guys, we're going to go into 9-foot giants, monoliths on Phobos. We're going to get back into the ancient past and take this straight to our extraterrestrial future here with Brad Olson. So stay tuned, members, and the rest of you. I love you all. Thank you so much for everything you do for this show. Thank you for sharing and doing all the kindness. And just let you know, I do take Bitcoin for donations. Just go to the donate page and check it out. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, FreemanTV, and get over to FreemanTV.com and subscribe. I apologize for my delay on YouTube and posting there. It's just that they're banning me. They're blocking my videos. They're denying me my ads and everything. So I kind of got sick of YouTube, but I'll get back to work on that. And I guarantee you Brad Olson will be up there because this was an amazing show. So I'll get that back to you guys as well. Brad, anything you got?
Oh, just I have a YouTube channel too, Esoteric Series. Like you, I'm kind of a little dubious with spending a lot of time to put things up on YouTube, thinking about what other solutions there are out there. But if you want to see some of my videos, the book launch party lectures I gave for both my esoteric books, plus a bunch of other videos, they can go to the Esoteric Series on YouTube. Check that out.
Fantastic. All right, folks, we will see you all next week. We'll be right back.